everyone, and welcome to Critical Values Podcast. I'm Senior Editor Molly Strzelecki, and today we're talking with Mr. Patrick Reese and Dr. Agnes Nouyoukas, both of Atlanta Dermatology Path Group. Dr. Nouyoukas recently spent time in Cameroon on a medical mission to support pathology services, and Mr. Reese and his colleagues provided an integral role in supporting this mission. Thank you both for speaking with me today. Dr. Nouyoukas, how did the trip to Cameroon come about?
So this trip was long time in the making in some sense. A few years ago, I went to South Africa as part of my medical school mission trip. There I gained some experience in overseas mission, and also I've noticed that pathologists could be more proactive in possibly improving similar trips that have been organized in the past and commonly are organized nowadays. During that trip, I became friends with one of my medical school colleagues, and subsequently she went to Africa, and specifically to Bingo Baptist Hospital, to do a mission trip with her OBGYN and surgical colleagues out there. So through her, I reached out to her after her trip, and they said, I basically asked whether they needed somebody with my skills, in particular surgical pathology skills. She put me in contact with local pathologist, long-term missionary Dr. Richard Barden, and since that time he kept me situation in Africa. So during my surgical pathology fellowship, I got an invitation. However, due to the scheduling conflicts and also financial difficulties at that time, I could not make the trip over there. So that was in 2013. That's when we started kind of more actively discussing the possibility of me going. Subsequently, because the need there was so great, his pathology colleagues ended up sending me a bunch of cases through other returning volunteers. And I was able to provide pathology service during that time, despite me not being able to physically go to the hospital. Later, in 2015, I received another email, which with an invitation to again come, potentially come and serve on the mission at that hospital. Dr. Barden at that time was scheduling his 4-month leave from the hospital, and basically the whole community there would not have any pathology service for those 4 months. So he invited a few other pathologists to volunteer to fill in the gap. And by that time, I was able to participate and subsequently went there for a 2-week long mission.
Now, how did the laboratory support this trip before, during, as well as after, since you've returned back to Atlanta?
So there are a couple ways that my colleagues here and Atlanta Dermatopathology in particular helped out with this trip. So obviously to go on these missions is no small task. It requires a long preparation period, also figuring out some logistical things in terms of what kind of potentially equipment or supplies could be brought into the country, since it's a resource-limited setting, and their availability of either supplies or technical equipment is quite limited. So basically, my colleagues here help, and maybe Patrick can talk a little bit more about that, but we discussed what kind of supplies could be brought that I could actually physically carry at that time. So that was one of the things that we did before I went. During the trip, I was, since I'm a dermatopathologist, I was consulted on a few difficult inpatient cases concerning diseases that involved skin. I was able to do, I'm a pathology trained dermatopathologist, so I have limited experience in dermatology. And because of that, I reached out to my colleagues via internet and would send a few of the either questions or clinical photographs to get their input. So basically, directly some of my colleagues here from Atlanta Dermatopathology were able to help me out while I was present in Africa. And then one other important thing that Atlanta Dermatopathology was able to do is, you know, as I mentioned before, I tried to plan this kind of trip a few years ago during my fellowship, but time restraints quite limiting factor in making these trips possible. So just to give you an example, for example, for me to reach Bingo Baptist Hospital, which is in northwest region of Cameroon, it took me 2 days. So it takes transatlantic flight, the landing in Paris, then a trip, another flight of 6 or 7 hours from Paris to Douala, which is a port city in Cameroon, more on the western side. And then you have to take an overnight break for security reasons, since the roads are not that secure in the country. And afterwards, I would have to board the car and then go on the car ride basically for another 7.5 hours to reach the destination. So because of that, since most of these missions are in very remote areas of various countries, so time is very valuable as well. So although I had 2 weeks vacation that Atlanta Dermatopathology approved, a good chunk of that is actually used for travel. So any less time than, let's say, a week, generally, you know, people and physicians get 1 week off, it would not be possible to do any significant contribution to any community because of that difficulty in accessing those remote areas and limited time available.
Patrick, from your perspective, what did supporting this trip mean to you and your fellow colleagues in the laboratory?
It was very important. Initially, I spoke with Dr. Niyokas about the trip she was taking. Immediately, it sparked my interest. I very much support being involved in these types of initiatives. So immediately, I tried to rack my brain on how from a technical standpoint, from the laboratory perspective, how we could support the initiative. As she mentioned, we made a determination of what supplies would be possible to transport via plane. Obviously, none of your flammable chemicals, things that could be of value but just were not possible to transport on the trip. We had to avoid that. What we were able to do is provide tissue cassettes, glass slides, cover slipping materials, things that, one, would be very difficult to obtain there. Secondly, very expensive things that they may not have access to. The products that we were able to supply are either products that were a bit past their shelf life or we did not plan to use. So essentially, it had no negative impact on us. We were able to provide this in a very helpful way, and we look to do that in the future. Another point of reference that we took there was reviewing some pathology slides to identify certain aspects of the technical product that may be lacking. As Dr. Niyokas mentions, the machinery, the technical training, it's all very lacking. So our goal was to evaluate the histology product and try to identify ways on the ground that they could improve these items through either process improvement, small adjustments to the workflow, things of that nature. So while providing the physical support, we also, you know, aim to provide ideas or process adjustments that would improve the service to the patients.
Dr. Niyokas, you mentioned quite a few obstacles that you encountered. Can you speak to those a little bit more, and can you tell us how you overcame them?
I forgot to mention something in terms of how laboratory support provides continuous support. I forgot to mention basically that, you know, this trip was my initial trip to Cameroon, and as much, you know, as we wanted to help and improve the quality of the slides, etc., it's, you know, in initial stages, the first step to do is to observe, and then help determine what needs to be changed or improved at that point. So as part of that, Atlanta DrumPF, Dr. Barden actually contacted me during his trip in the United States. And once I returned to my home state, he made a trip specifically to meet me and to meet Patrick and to also learn more about our laboratory. And recently, just last week, we had a chance to meet him in person for the first time after interacting via email for many years. And Patrick was able to take him on the tour of the laboratory and give him more ideas on what can be implemented over there or what currently is being used in the United States, which I think that it was a first really important step in further developing relationship with the group out there in Cameroon, and also for continued sort of impact and relationship, both from our side and from theirs. In terms of obstacles that I encountered, there were quite a few. The first step was the limitation in laboratory technical support, and also, you know, as Patrick has alluded previously, in terms of quality. There were many instances where the slides would be produced and staining was so pale that I could not differentiate between various types of cells within those tissues. I know, you know, if those slides would have been prepared at any laboratory in the United States, to sign up that case would take, you know, just a few minutes. But there, because of that technical component and difficulties, that definitely slows you down quite a bit, requiring either additional tissues or non-specific diagnoses to be made. So I think that was one of the obstacles. However, I should mention that the histology staff there is doing a tremendous job with the resources that they have. And prior to my trip there, I showed some slides to Patrick, and his first response or comment about those were, you know, they are not as bad as I thought they will be. So basically, you know, they are doing their best, and you can see in their faces and in their work ethic, and, you know, any obstacles in the technical component that they had, the staff there, specifically histologists Remedy and Justin, who were my partners over there, were a tremendous help in overcoming some of those obstacles. The other difficulty that I encountered was the access to medical history and medical records. That, I think, we are quite spoiled here. Records where a lot of information is really at our fingertips. There in Cameroon, they still use the paper charts that actually do not stay in the hospital but rather travel everywhere with the patient. So the charts get misplaced, new ones are made. In some cases, nobody knows exactly what happened to the medical information. The medical electronic medical records that are available, they are really very rudimentary and do not always have information that needs to be accessible for a pathologist to make a correct diagnosis or to help interpreting the case. So that was an area where definitely there is a need, potential need for improvement in order to be able for any pathologist working there, whether a local person or somebody coming from outside like me, to provide quality care. I could talk about what's lacking from technical and personnel or equipment, you know, quality, for example, but I have to admit that this kind of experience was for me also quite challenging, where I was required to step outside of my comfort zone. So some of the obstacles were embedded really within myself. So, you know, for example, pathologists working in the United States can order a panel of immunohistochemical stains to help nail the diagnosis, let's say. However, there, this kind of luxury is unavailable. And so, therefore, to be able to interpret the case correctly, just with the help of one's observational skills and basic histology, I think that is kind of a skill that sometimes, working with a lot of help here, we become a little bit lazy, or, you know, that kind of skill atrophies in some ways. So that was an obstacle. And then also the sheer volume of cases that I was facing during that time was quite overwhelming. Specifically, they did not have a pathologist on board for a few weeks, I believe, before I went in. So on the day when I started, there was a tremendous backlog of both cytology and histology slides that I needed to tackle on top of the routine cases that were coming in during that day or prior days. Those were a couple of the obstacles that I can mention that I was dealing with while there.
Patrick, were there any obstacles that you and your colleagues encountered on your end?
We didn't face nearly the obstacles, obviously, that were faced in the field. I think probably the main challenge when evaluating improvements to be made, you know, from the technical sense is just identifying, because we have we're not familiar with the process that's actually being utilized there, the steps that are taken, or exactly what reagents or what limited equipment is being used. Sometimes it can be a challenge to pose improvement ideas based on conditions that you may be unaware of. So I think that's probably the main challenge we face. Try to take a broad look at it and look at ways that outside of that we could be of assistance. You know, simple suggestions, again, with the physical supplies. Again, Dr. Barden, when he toured the lab, you know, I gave him a very detailed rundown of how we operate here. Some of the things we do obviously are not possible there based on our level of automation. But again, we provided him with some physical supplies to take back to the region to support those guys. So our obstacles, not nearly what Dr. Nyokas faced, but it can be a bit challenging supporting essentially a hospital and a laboratory that you have no prior experience or familiarity with.
Obviously, there were a lot of obstacles. Did you encounter any surprises?
Sure. One surprise is how expensive various vaccines are. Just to get all kinds of typhoid fever, yellow fever, and meningitis vaccines, et cetera, it costs quite a bit of money. So that was a little bit surprising before I embarked on my trip. But while there, I think that many of the surprises were, again, very, very personal, I think. So on one hand, for example, what I like about my job here is how collegial everybody is, and also how we can discuss cases with somebody else. And I think many pathology services across the United States utilize census conference and outside consultation capabilities. While I was there, I was it pathologist. So I was the only pathologist on board for a hospital of 300 plus beds. So that was quite surprisingly difficult, I think. So that definitely made me appreciate what I have here, but also made me realize how hard it is to help run pathology service in the resource-limited setting, in, you know, specifically in Cameroon, and what a tremendous job Dr. Barden is actually doing for many years already while there. The other surprising and humbling experience that happened while I was there was the sheer volume of malignant diagnoses that I had to make. So, for example, I'm not over-exaggerating. I think every second or every third diagnosis there was malignancy. So when you're sitting in the office all by yourself, signing out cases, and every other, if not more than that, diagnosis is malignancy, tumor of this kind, breast cancer in a young patient, colorectal cancer in a 40-year-old or even younger, cryptococcal raging meningitis in HIV-positive patient. I mean, the sheer volume of or sheer number of malignant diagnoses there was incredible. So I was blown away by that. And you know, initially you kind of go through various stages when you are all by yourself trying to figure out this new, completely new world. And you know, at some point I think I started being a little bit depressed with my work, and then because I would interact with clinicians and they would say, I would ask about this case, maybe getting additional clinical information, and they would say, oh, this patient passed away this afternoon. And, you know, at some point you start questioning, so what am I doing? Am I making any kind of impact while I was there? So two things happened. One, I met this wonderful volunteer emergency room doctor who was serving as an internal medicine physician there from Canada. And he basically put many things for me in perspective. So, for example, there was one particular case where they tried to figure out whether the patient had either tumor or also in the stomach. And I ended up giving him a malignant diagnosis of gastric carcinoma, and the patient passed away a day later. And they said, so what's the difference? Like, did they really make any difference? Because he was the one who kept on saying that I would rather have a pathologist during medical mission than a CT or MRI machine. And I think that was really to feel that your kind of settings and that other clinicians really value your contributions. So he basically, just going back to the case, he said, with your diagnosis, we could stop poking him around and provide him comfort care during his last hours. And that was an important contribution to him. And so then I think I was a little bit reassured, because in many instances, malignant diagnosis is truly a death sentence there. It's not like here where we have a lot of chemotherapy and radiotherapy to help us prolong patients' lives. The other thing that he did, he invited me to go on the wards and go to round with him and see patients. And that was an incredible experience for a pathologist who does not see a patient. So I do strictly dermatopathology in my daily practice in the United States. And that experience to go back to my roots of why I chose medicine, to see both patient suffering but also some positive outcomes of the care that they provide there, was an incredible and gave me a better perspective of my role there, and also the fact that some of the things that I was doing there was doing directly to the patients. Some interesting, I guess, surprises, just to mention one other thing, is that, as you may know, Cameroon is a multilingual country, but predominantly it's bilingual. So because of difficult and complicated political past, the country is sort of divided into the English-speaking part and French-speaking part. Since Dr. Barden's run pathology service there is quite well known, they do receive consultation slides from other hospitals, or not slides, but specimens directly sent to for processing at Bingo. And so I had a few reports written completely in French with no explanation or translation, so that was quite surprising. I must say I was very grateful that before my trip I took a couple months course in French, and at least basic French, I understand the written language, so that was helpful. And also, you know, of course a lot of staff there is bilingual, so they were able to help me out a little bit with that as well. But that was completely overseen kind of surprise for me because I knew traveling there that I'm heading over to English-speaking parts where language barrier should not be a problem. And that kind of caught me a little bit by surprise.
What would you tell someone who is interested in embarking on a medical mission like this? What advice would you give them?
I think it's very personal for everyone who goes there. I think a couple of things that a must is to be open-minded. To be open-minded that the culture will be different and you will have to adapt and not the staff or anybody else will be adapting to your liking. So I think open-mindedness is definitely one thing that needs to happen. The other thing is, I would say, research before going in terms of what kind of needs are there and where exactly your skills fit in the picture that's already in place in those kind of settings. So, for example, the pathology service there, or Dr. Barden specifically, did not have too many options in terms of, so it's difficult to fill in these months of his absence of volunteers. So as I mentioned before, when I got there, there was a backlog of cases of maybe a little over a week long. When I left, the next pathologist was coming only in a month. So the cases were rolling in, but there was nobody to really look at the cases and make diagnoses. So I think figuring out where your skills can be helpful and also is very important for somebody who is going out there. The other thing that I would say, so, you know, as I mentioned before, my current practice is dermatopathology, which I absolutely love to do, and I hope that there is going to be a time in history when I'll be able to go to Africa or any other part of the world and just do that. Currently, however, the need is for not for a dermatopathologist out there, but for general really good surgical pathologists. And I knew immediately that there were a couple areas within the pathology specialty that I just was not comfortable in signing out cases. And so, of course, not everybody is a dermatopathologist who is doing these kind of missions, but I think figuring out what you can and cannot do is, you know, very important.
Patrick, from your perspective, what would you tell people that labs can do to support these efforts and these missions?
I would echo what Dr. Niakis has mentioned. You really have to identify what the need is, what the greatest need that location has. You translate what you can offer, whether it be supplies, whether it be guidance on laboratory operations or functions, and sort of customize that advice and or materials to really fit that situation. I think a lot of these areas, they face similar challenges, but I think each is unique in its own right. Here in the United States, a lot of laboratories, laboratory personnel, they have a broad skill set that would translate to many different areas. But in applying that to specific missions, I think it is important to just identify how you can, you know, serve that area to the max. You know, translate that to exactly what's needed. I think that it can be a tremendous asset. I think that the technology here and process advances so rapidly, changes so quickly that the new ideas and new approaches are constantly coming online and evolving. I think that in most of these areas, it's probably been one kind of process for a very long time with very little resources and room for advancement. So I think furthering that cause can be ultra helpful for these groups and these people.
Thank you both for sharing your experiences and insights with us today, and we wish you continued success with your future medical missions.
Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you.